Ladies and gentlemen.
You're having a nightmare. What if it's true?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Alan, it's a possibility, isn't it?
The very word secrecy is repugnant.
Secrets.
In a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, the secret oaths, and the secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers,
constant, extreme danger,
which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger,
extreme danger,
that an announced need for increased security.
What the hell is going on?
This is Conspiracy Queries with Alan Carr.
Will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control.
You're crazy!
And no officious, high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes.
Isn't the Pentagon suspicious that all the buildings blow up?
Or to withhold from the press and the public.
I think you're just looking at things for the first time.
The facts they deserve to know.
You've had your whole fucking life to think things over. What good's a few minutes more gonna do you now?
The facts they deserve to know. They deserve to know.
Welcome to Green Crush, episode 24. Welcome to Conspiracy Queries, episode 96.
What?
Two shows, one air date, one day a week so far. And with the kinds of technical problems I've been having, maybe once a month, I can't even believe, folks, the amount of time and effort I've put into this show this week. And, man, just constant BS with the technical scenario. I'm so tired of it. I put a whole show together, and magically, files are disappearing. These little computer chips, all of a sudden, it's empty. Yes, I saved it. Yes, I did all the things I'm supposed to do, and it's not working anyway. It's driving me nuts. It's almost like, and then I had Russell. Russell is our technical guy, and he's in the booth here with me, and I had problems on the computer, and it screws up, and then I bring him up, look at this thing, and I show it to him, and of course it doesn't have the same problem, right? And this happened twice inside of 10 minutes. 10 minutes, yeah. So like last night, I was listening to a particular file that I had ready for the show today, and it was screwed up. There were some pieces missing. I said, okay, it's too late. I'm gonna go to bed. And I'll do it in the morning. And when I got up in the morning, then there's a ton of extra things on this one file, and it's completely indiscernible. So I'm in desperate need of technical help, okay? Because even if you're looking at it and you're watching what's going on, you know, these little sound wave files have these little scratchy lines, like you're taking a lie detector test if you're not familiar with these things, and they all of a sudden just disappear off the little patch. And this is kind of boring for people, but it's the reason we're late today. There's always a reason on Green Crush. We're always late. We always start at 2:03 p.m. and we're always a little bit late. But we do have a good show today because we do have an excellent guest. Like all of our guests, he's extremely knowledgeable on the cannabis front. And every single day, these folks put something out of great interest, and it's the cannabisdaily.co, not .com. So I'm just going to check in and make sure that our friends are available, and we will get to them shortly. So you are available, period. We are on the air, period. This is how rough it has to be when your sound files screw up. This is why I'm not having the best time of my life right now. Should be a lot more fun than this. Putting a dagger into the heart of the monster that shuts down access to cannabis. Access to cannabis. Actively shut down at every turn. And this is why the show are... this is why the show is two shows right now. Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park is something I was doing for a few years. And then I got sick with cancer. And I just couldn't keep going. I had to stop doing the show. And a lot of other things I had to stop doing. Many things. We will talk about those. We have talked about those. But anyway, this show Green Crush has come about because I have figured out that the way to not die from cancer, stage 4, was to get involved with this plant. I'm no genius. It's been on the planet for 5,000 years or what have you. So today with us, we have Sean Dillon of CannabisDaily.co. He's going to talk about some really interesting things going on around the world in cannabis, as I have had to unhitch my focus from the Canadian scene very much so. I know there's a lot of people around the world that listen to the show and think, oh, you guys are legalizing it. Good for you. But when you really stick your nose into the back end of the folks that have cobbled together this pastiche of repressive garbage in the way of strictures and nonsense, it's not all that exciting. It only looks good from afar. And there are a lot of people in Canada thinking, oh, I heard they're going to legalize it next year. Oh, that's interesting. But they don't really know what they're talking about, because you're not really legalizing something that you're recriminalizing. So Sean Dillon on CannabisDaily.co is going to be on. There's all kinds of stuff that he's going to talk about. We're going to hopefully get a little bit into Harvest 360. This is going to be a big success. We have a future guest lined up, I think. Todd Scatini is also involved with that. He's hugely involved with that. This is a former military guy. And so I just want to move on to some news of the day. Now, I don't even know if we're going to be able to do the thing I wanted to do with the news of the day, but let's see if we can or not. All right, so this is going to involve a lot of jigging around. All right, let me see here. Boom, 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 boom. All right, let's see. Now, is this even going to work? Are these files even here now? Is this even a possibility? Is this a thing I can do? I want to do it. It's kind of ready for that. I'm all set to go personally, but where did this thing go? I mean, I don't understand where any of this stuff happens. I don't get any of it, man. It's all different. Every time I get into this mess of computer stuff, it's failing me. It's really failing me. I don't know what's going on. Is it my computer? Is it the program? Let's see what this says here. Yeah, that's it. Okay, let's see if that works. All right, here we go.
Double load today.
Double load, yep. Yeah, it's a double load today. A double load of cannabis bull. All right, so let's get to this. Right. Here we go. Marijuana. This is a publication called Marijuana.com. Look it up. It says here that New Hampshire has voted to legalize marijuana. There's another state for you. Of course, New Hampshire. I'm kind of surprised they're a little bit this behind the curve. They're so freedom-loving there. Says the New Hampshire House of Representatives embraced adult-use marijuana. Embraced. I like that word. Marijuana legalization Tuesdays. That was last week. And passed legalization and passed HB 656 with a 207-139 vote. That's a pretty hefty majority, I guess. After officially legalizing marijuana in 2013 and decriminalizing the personal possession of small amounts into September 2017, today's vote, last week's vote, to legalize recreational marijuana represents enlightened progress for those residents living in the Granite State. That's what they're calling enlightened progress. Justin Trudeau and your cop law twister, Bill Blair. Bill Blair is the actual pronunciation. Originally scheduled for a House vote on Tuesday, they got to it a day early. Tuesday's passage of the bill allows New Hampshire to join Massachusetts and Maine, hopefully, as recreational states in the New England region. And this is the problem we have right now. Like, you'll be in Canada, where it's kind of sort of legal somewhat, maybe pass your way into one of these American states, where they will probably check and see if you have cannabis and ask if you've used it before, maybe give you a hard time, and you'll say no, and then they'll finally let you in, and then you'll be there and able to partake of it legally. And then you'll have a good time with it. And then when you come back to Canada and they smell it in the car and it's even legal here, they'll still give you a hard time about it. And that's how it's not enlightened most of the time. So good for New Hampshire being progressively minded and actually progressively minded, as opposed to a lot of the stuff that's going on in the world today. Also, we have Vermont. Vermont passes legalization through traditional legislation. Let's see what it says here about Vermont. The Vermont Senate voted to approve legislation that would legalize possession and cultivation of a limited amount. Oh, they've got a different limited amount of recreational marijuana. Once signed by Governor Phil Scott, a significant moment for the Green Mountain State as well as American history. Vermont has become the first state to legalize marijuana through the state's legislative process. That was the first time, huh? No, because it came up the next day. What are they talking about? Anyway, maybe they were high when they wrote it, huh? Passed with a simple voice vote. The yay won. A voice vote. Instead, they don't count, I guess, like we do. It's who's louder. Who's louder? So you can tell it's not stoners passing that bill, because when people are really whacked out, they're like, yeah, man. Not loud enough. Vermont's residents will be allowed to possess up to 1 ounce of recreational marijuana and will be permitted to cultivate up to 6 marijuana plants. See, in Canada, it's 4. 4 here, 6 there. Completely arbitrary. Completely bullshit. Sanctioned. Oops, not supposed to swear on conspiracy queries. Sorry about that. Sanctioned to smoke, carry, or grow under the new legislation. Residents will find the commercial cultivation or distribution of marijuana will remain a crime in the state. Soon to be legal in Vermont after July 1 will be less than 1 ounce of marijuana, 2 mature marijuana plants, 4 immature cannabis starters. I know a lot of immature cannabis starters. And renters will be required to obtain a landlord's written consent. And look out, there will be problems on that front. Absolutely and for sure. So on cannabisdaily.co, we are going to have Sean Dillon on shortly. They are going to have, I'm sure they're going to weigh in on a lot of this stuff. But right now, I want to turn to a more serious problem in society. We're always told about the children and the kids, and what about all of this? What about them damaging their minds and accessing something they shouldn't access? And they're too young to access it. And this is the mantra all the time that we have to listen to, because people aren't using the substance properly. And when they're not using it properly, of course, there are going to be problems for these young children that have been accessing this dangerous substance. And we're told it's dangerous. And of course, I'm talking about Tide Laundry Pods. Tide Laundry Pods have long been viewed as hazardous products for young children, but now teens are deliberately chomping down on the pods as part of a new online fad called the Tide Pod Challenge. Now, what are our precious legislators going to do about that? What exactly are they going to do to stop this big problem of kids accessing detergent to get some kind of weird buzz going on? I don't know exactly what they're going to do. I think they should put it into government-controlled outlets. I think it should only be available, this laundry soap, this terrible stuff, should only be available at certain hours and only with an adult supervision and only in a specialized outlet where they can sell it. That's the only place they should have this stuff, because it's laundry detergent and it's dangerous for the kids, don't you know? multicolored, brightly colored. They shouldn't have that. They shouldn't be allowed to be in attractive packaging. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. They shouldn't be shown anywhere in a store where a child might wander in. I think we need to get this stuff out of the grocery stores, out of your Costcos and your Walmarts. It's not safe, folks. These dangerous laundry pods are going to ruin your child's life. Allowing access to these brightly colored, very well-promoted substance. That's another thing. We can't have advertising for these colorful, attractive laundry pods. This is very dangerous. We can't have kids doing this, and we can only teach them about the dangers of it, right? We shouldn't tell them what it's meant for and how they work. So it's a very, very dangerous subject here at Green Crush, and I say that unless the kids are supervised by an adult, and they should only have so much of it at a time. There should be a milliliter limit on these liquid danger bombs. And if you're caught with 1 millimeter over that, you should go to jail. That's what we need to do with everything. Now, I'm only following the example they've laid down for cannabis. I'm only following the example that we preach and we worry and we moan and we bitch and we gripe about the perceived dangers of cannabis without providing the facts of the positivities of the cannabis. That's all I'm trying to do here. But in the meantime, every single thing that a child can endanger himself with needs to be restricted access, or the cannabis policies are total BS. Absolute garbage, right? So no more glass, no more aerosol cans, no more acetylene torches that you can use to burn things. Oh my goodness, the children and the burning. Oh, they can burn so many things and destroy so many things. So anything that can cause a problem, anything that's of any danger whatsoever, should be eliminated from the child access. No children left behind in a grocery store near the Tide Pods or anything else they can endanger themselves with. We're going to have to put that under the same supervision. Yeah, I said supervision. Of the cannabis mindset. Speaking of the cannabis mindset, turns out a global marijuana company in Smiths Falls, Ontario, seeks a retail pot store. Smiths Falls, Ontario, experiencing some kind of resurgence from their flattened out economy. It's between Toronto and Ottawa in Canada. Says here in the CBC that the small eastern Ontario town of Smiths Falls is home to one of the world's largest legal marijuana companies. But when pot becomes legal across Canada this summer, the provincial government won't allow Canopy Growth Corp. to open a retail pot outlet at its plant. Now, I'm no fan of the large purveyors, such as... Not a big fan at all, especially when we're legislated to only be able to buy it from them as best as possible. These folks that the cops have already invested into and that the police have already invested into because they knew it was coming. And there's a lot of dirty double dealing going on. But Canopy Growth is not going to be able to open up a retail pot outlet inside its plant. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a brewery, but there's almost always, I would venture to say, every place that is a brewery of alcohol sells that product in a cool little area inside in the bar. I've seen the one at the Guinness plant in Ireland. There's one here in Toronto, Steam Whistle. I've been to the Creemore brewery. And they all sell this stuff. So this is more government double-dealing BS, backwards-reaching nonsense, where the company now and the town are lobbying to change that if it's legal to make and sell something in a building, you should also be able to sell that thing you're legally making in the building in an outlet outside. But people like Justin Trudeau, who just really doesn't have his oar in the water at all. When you listen to this guy answer a question, he goes nowhere near the posed question. And into his pre-recorded, it's almost like they stick a chip in the guy. And sometimes that chip short circuits, like when they were asking him about his ethics breaches. This is a guy telling people such as myself and others, indirectly and directly, that this is a terrible business, this cannabis. This is bad stuff. And meanwhile, he doesn't know his ass from a hockey stick. So Mark Zekulin, he's the president of Canopy Growth, says that it's the most logical place in Canada to have a store. I have to agree with him on that. Just on the fact alone that Canada has decided it's a legal venture. A lot of these punks have actually invested into it already. And you can't buy the thing that they're making there? Based on what? Based on what kind of logic is that? Based on what kinds of sensibilities are we looking at here? The company is licensed by federal governments to produce medical marijuana. It operates out of the town's old Hershey chocolate factory. It's eager to sell its products on the site, as craft breweries can sell their beer to visiting customers. Under Ontario's approach to selling marijuana, and do check out my confrontation with Kathleen Wynne, the Premier of Ontario, if you haven't seen that. I think it's episode 19. God, she's a stick. It won't be allowed. They're not going to allow the sale of this thing that they make that's legal, but they can't sell it there. But the Attorney General's department told CBC News it intends to keep an open dialogue with the stakeholders. So the people saying, no, 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 you can't have it, are also saying, we're going to have an open dialogue. That's the same load of crap that Kathleen Wynne gave me. Oh, well, this is a continuing conversation. No, it's not. I'm continuing it. I'm hitting her up on Twitter constantly. She doesn't say anything but more baffle gab. And it's not because she's a woman, folks. It's because she's got the reins of power, or the reins of power that have been given her to tug on anyway. So how marijuana will be controlled, distributed, and sold is up to each province and territory. Ontario opting initially for 40 government-run retail stores and online ordering with no privately run businesses, because that's reasonable. You know, I mean, they have 10,000 liquor outlets, but 40 government-run stores, that'll probably cover it, with towns that don't want it that are getting one, and towns that want it that aren't getting one. These folks, they're all coming up with this structure while they claim to be straight-minded and reasonable-thinking folks who don't sully themselves with the negative input of this terrible drug, marijuana. They can't even get two pieces to fit together. They can't even get a triangle-shaped hole and a triangle to work out. So how marijuana will be controlled is up to each province, but it says here some municipalities are opposed to hosting a store or have expressed concerns. Richmond Hill Mayor Dave Barrow said the province is pushing its rollout and municipalities deserve the right to abstain until the plan becomes clearer. But the Smiths Falls Town Council is fully behind Canopy Growth's proposal. So you have the will of the people. And you have the ability of the folks making it. You have the logical sensibility that, you know, anything that's legal should be able to be consumed. And then we have the Ontario Attorney General Nasir Naqvi and the Finance Minister Charles Souza pretty much at the helm of making sure none of this stuff goes down. These I'm going to just come right out and call them idiots, folks. I'm going to call them manipulated, idiotic, stupid, ridiculous, unworthy people working in and for the government, which ultimately leads back to the crown, which is not the queen, but the crown, you know, the folks that make all the money back there in England, in the city of London, the place where the queen has to ask permission to go in. So they're that's what they're doing. That's kind of amazing to me that they are that concise with their ineptitude. I mean, you have to give it to them. That's quite something else. So That's Ontario. That's Smiths Falls. Now we also have some more news coming up here. We have Justin Trudeau says pot purchases are funding gangs, organized crime, and must be charged. This is the Prime Minister of Canada as they work towards being the only gang and organized crime, and that being the government that's allowed to sell this. They are wrestling away the cannabis access from who they say are bad people. Meanwhile, the revenue minister's in hot water right now. Justin Trudeau's been busted on ethics breaches that, you know, initially he said it was okay what he was doing to go down to a resort of the Aga Khan down there in Bahamas. It was okay to do that. They already checked it out. Then later he finds out, oh, it's not okay. Well, I didn't know it was okay. I didn't know. You know, that's what they get to say and do all the time. Yeah, no, it's like this. And then later, oh, I didn't know. So Justin is saying that these gangs are being funded in organized crime. He says the Canadians who buy pot are funding gangs, and organized crime will continue to be charged until marijuana is legal, vis-a-vis they get to sell it at companies that aren't allowed to sell it in their own lounges just outside. The Liberal government is looking at ways to deal with criminal records for possessing pot, but Trudeau said there will be no amnesty after cannabis is legalized and control in July. Certainly, we know the current legislation is hurting Canadians and criminalizing Canadians who perhaps shouldn't be. Perhaps. What a punk. But this is an engagement we will take once we have legalized and controlled regime in place. A legalized and controlled regime in place. Not before, he told reporters. Trudeau said the government's plan for marijuana is fundamentally about public health and safety in his own friggin' pockets. And Chuck Rafisi and Julian Fantino and some other cops that have been able to invest into this thing as it comes down the pike. And until the critical regulatory and security regimes, I hate that word, are in place, it will be treated as an illegal product. Let's listen to this guy talk right now, Justin Trudeau. What's he got to say about all this? Is this going to work? We got the internet here.
Once the law is changed, we will, of course, reflect on fairness in a way that is responsible moving forward. I think.
Why don't you reflect on that before you enact the laws, you stupid man, you disgusting piece of walking sludge? This is what they do all the time. We're going to build up a bunch of shit, and we're going to throw some building materials in there, and then, we're going to maybe dig a couple of holes, throw in some beams, pour some concrete. We'll get some roofing tiles going and some cable, some conduit, maybe put some electrical sockets in there together. And then later on, we'll try to figure out how to make that look like a house. Instead of going in with a smart, well-figured-out foundation and blueprints. These idiots. Continue, sir.
I think certainly we know that the current legislation is hurting Canadians and criminalizing Canadians who perhaps shouldn't be. But that is an engagement we will take once we have a legalized and controlled regime in place.
That's why you're a criminal, sir. That's why you're a criminal. You can't listen to this and tell me it's anywhere near logical. It just can't be done.
Moving forward, I think certainly we know that the current legislation is hurting Canadians and criminalizing Canadians.
But that's okay with you. Because that's part of your plan. That's part of your stupid fucking plan. Oh, I've done it again. I'm so sorry to my ConQ listeners. The folks on Green Crush, they've heard me get salty before. It's really hard not to. Because I'm in the middle of this. I'm in the middle of this because I wound up dying. And then I use this stuff to get out of trouble. And I'm tired of all of this nonsense. Thrown at a substance that's effectively a food. It's a food. It's a biological need. Even this idiot here has an endocannabinoid system in his body. That means endo. That means endogenous. It's inside his body. This idiot is suffering from some kind of cannabis deficit, the poor man. It's affecting his brain or what's left of it. Leader of the country. Oh, God, it's embarrassing. So we'll turn to organized crime exploiting medical marijuana program, says the RCMP. This is from 2013, well before all of this legalization bluster came into being. The RCMP says organized criminal networks are taking advantage of Canada's medical marijuana program to produce the drug and supply it on the illicit market. And that's because there is an illicit market. And that's because Justin Trudeau and Stephen Harper before him make this stuff illegal. And once you do that, you have an illicit market. These people are creating the very criminality that they complain about being suffering from. It's really that simple. This newly released intelligence report, 5 years ago, by the National Police Force, warns that criminals are using family members and associates with clean police records to get around program safeguards. Gaining access to or control of a medical marijuana grow-op is highly desirable for criminal networks due to the array of opportunities it would present for the illicit production and diversion of high-grade medical marijuana, says the report, completed in May 2012. So 6 years ago, just about, they realized that it's desirable to co-opt a system where you have these massive restrictions. This is why there's not really an illicit alcohol market, because you can just go get it. You can also make your own. You can make your own beer. You can make your own wine. There may be some kinds of rules against stills due to safety reasons. I'm not sure. I've never decided to make my own whiskey or however that works. But I've made wine and beer before. There are places everywhere you can do it. You can purchase it. You can drink it in 10,000 places in this province alone. And you don't have an illegal booze rum-running program. Unlike Stephen Bronfman, who is the modern-day heir to the Bronfman rum-running gang, which was at the height of the criminal activity regarding the prohibition of alcohol back in the 20s and 30s. Strange little family that managed to get control of how alcohol was distributed while it was illegal. And then when it became legal, of course, they were already set up and they made millions on it. Probably, well, I'm going to say billions on it. I don't know if they have it all still, but they made that much. And that's what these people are trying to do now with cannabis. And isn't it funny that there's a Bronfman there? Listen to some earlier episodes and I read from Dope Inc. Dope Inc. A book written to explain this kind of mindset. It says that screening an applicant through a criminal record check is insufficient to keep undesirable elements from infiltrating the program. So their screening doesn't work. A heavily censored copy of the report, and why was it heavily censored, was released to the Canadian press under the Access to Information Act. So first there was the Access to Information Act. They wanted a copy of the report. They relented, and then there's a lot of redactions in it. The findings follow numerous warnings and reports of illegal activity linked to Health Canada's Marijuana Medical Access Regulations Initiative. The department has announced a complete reworking of the medical marijuana system, in part due to concerns about the risk of criminal exploitation. At this time, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 30,000 people in Canada authorized to use the drug for medical purposes. And the Mounties have long advised that the illegal marijuana trade is a multi-billion dollar industry in Canada because it's illegal. That's why. And when it's illegal, people get in trouble, don't they? I think they do. We had a lovely guest on last week, the mother of Ava Barry. Vera Toomey was on last week, and she had been forced out of Ireland. If you've heard episode 23, you already know what I'm talking about. If not, check it out later. She was forced out of Ireland, took her child, who was an epileptic, not epileptic, she had Dravet's syndrome, epileptic-type seizures, and cannabis does a wonder for her. Now she has made the Irish government accept this fact, and they are allowed to use it without criminal reprisal. Similarly, let's go now to Australia. gets tiring after a while, understanding that there's so many people that do want this and can use this and are experiencing wonderful benefits from this. At the same time, it's illegal and against the law, and the government says, no, you can't have it, it's really bad. And as long as we do that, there's a criminal enterprise afoot. That's the whole equation right there. You're welcome. So here we go with abc.net.au. Medicinal cannabis advocate Jenny Hallam defends actions as morally right. An Adelaide woman accused of supplying cannabis oil to terminally ill people has pleaded not guilty to drug charges and asserted her actions were morally right. She's 45. She entered her pleas in the Adelaide Magistrates Court to one count each of possessing and manufacturing a controlled drug. Police raided her home in Hillier, Northern Adelaide, a year ago and charged her 3 months later with drug offenses. Outside court, with supporters by her side, she said she had hoped the director of public prosecutions would drop the charges. Good luck with that. We have just provided the DPP with just under 200 letters from people who I have helped and who just the general public and also just the general public asking for the charges to be dropped. You know, the majority of people. Ms. Hallam said her actions were morally right and she is not a criminal and it's a medical necessity and it works. The people were in need and those people would have died if I hadn't have provided that treatment. There are no victims in this crime. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was injured. I will stand in that courtroom proud and I will tell people that what I did was the right thing. It was the morally right thing to do. But doctors are reluctant to prescribe. Doctors there can legally prescribe it in particular circumstances, but advocates of medical cannabis use argue that doctors are unwilling to prescribe it and hurdles remain to accessing these products. There's no legal access for people in Australia, it says, even though they have been trying. They have been told to go to their doctors, but their doctors cannot prescribe a legal product, Hallam said. And she argues that people who could be helped are instead dying. If convicted of manufacturing a controlled drug, hey, that's what I did. I manufactured a controlled drug. This is pretty cool, yeah. Ms. Hallam faces a maximum jail sentence of 7 years, a $35,000 fine, or both. I wonder how that works. If you go to jail for 7 years, how you're supposed to pony up 35 grand? It's kind of hard to get that together when you're making 8 cents a day. So there we have a technical fiction at the moment, which sees people like Jenny Hallam, who are there to try to help the sick and suffering South Australians, drag through the courts. Why is that? Why do these people do that? Well, just before we go to Skype, and we're going to bring on our friend Sean Dillon from Cannabis Daily, let me just remind you people of something. That's right, I said it, you people. If you're just joining us now, and why would you do that on a podcast? If you're just joining us now, while it's live, perhaps, or if this is your first listen to the show, I recommend going back and hearing all of them. But let me just read this thing. This is in the Guardian. It says here that cannabis is a wonder drug capable of radically transforming the lives of very sick people. Tests sanctioned by the government are proving far more successful than doctors, patients, and cannabis campaigners ever dared hope. Taking the drug, still illegal for doctors to prescribe in England, has allowed a man previously so crippled with pain he was impotent to become a father, a woman paralyzed by multiple sclerosis to ride a horse for the first time, and a man who couldn't sit up in a chair on his own to live without a carer. And until now, claims of the benefits of the drug for certain conditions have been anecdotal. But the preliminary results of the UK government trial started in the year 2000, folks. Suggests that 80% of those taking part have derived more benefit from cannabis than any other drug, many describing it as miraculous, making it almost inevitable, wrong, that the government will bow to public pressure, wrong, and legalize the cultivation of cannabis for medical purposes by 2002. Didn't happen. It's 16 years down the road from this article. 16 years down the road. And still, we are listening to the BS Oh, it's anecdotal. Yeah, he really doesn't really, you know, you don't really have any kind of thing there. It's just an anecdote. I'll say it again. Every time there's an anecdote coming from one of us around the world, one of the tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of people that are so experiencing a wonderful benefit from this fantastic substance, I'm all done listening to some government idiot tell me how...
Exactly. Where did we go here? How come that doesn't... how come I'm not... Huh?
Oh, there it is. Okay. How it is. I don't know if you heard me, Sean, but I don't understand when you have a British Guardian article. 16 years
I'm here
old.
Now, Alan. I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I was just going to start you off on that Guardian article. I don't know how it is. What is your take? This is Sean Dillon, folks, from Cannabis... cannabisdaily.co. I want to know what your take is on a 16-year-old article that cites research from 17 years ago saying how healthful and how fantastic this property is for people, no longer anecdotal as of the year 2000-2001. And here we are in 2018. You still can't get it in England properly. You still can't get it around the world. These facts are available. Everyone out there who researches it and looks into it, such as yourself, knows about it. So from your position as a person involved with cannabisdaily.co, and you're going to tell us all about how that works, but let's just get right to it. Why do you think it is that this healthful substance that's been repeatedly shown to be healthful, or I wouldn't be sitting here right now, why is it in your mind that this stuff is so off the books?
It must be pharmaceuticals, Alan. What are your thoughts? That's what I would say.
You'd say pharma's behind it?
Well, governments and farmers, it's all about money, isn't it? It's the whole reason cannabis was made illegal and stigmatized back in the early 30s.
Right. Yeah,
you're touching on the UK and legislation. Everybody knows it there, as you guys do in Canada. Just the CBD market's opening up, however. They're just not allowed any THC. None at all.
None at all. No.
No, but CBD in Europe is abundant. In fact, the supply-demand can't keep up. You know, and obviously, when you look at the States and Canada, obviously, there's a lot of growing of the plant there, but you can't get it out. You can't ship CBD freely from America. In fact, I think with the market in the United States and Canada, they're focusing on THC because of the value there and obviously, you know, your recreational smokers. So with that, the CBD, they're dying to get rid of it. They have it. They're producing it. From my experience of speaking with people over your side of the pond. But here in Europe, it's selling quicker than you can produce. It's that simple. So it does. The value seen with CBD, it's just the drug policy, the war on drugs. It's still classed as a drug. So I think we're going to see that problem for some time.
Now, this is what rocks me earlier. I don't know if you heard this earlier, but I was saying that the governments, and I'm just putting them all on a loose pile there, from the British government, the Canadian, the Australian, everybody in the Western world, pretty much they're all saying, you know, we can't have this stuff involved. We can't have the black market. We can't have these criminals. We shouldn't be doing this at all. This is not a good plan to have this. And then thereby, when they make it illegal, those folks are at it, making money. I mean, how does anybody not see that?
Well, the way I see it, Alan, is that they were made criminals, weren't they? Due to the fact that something which shouldn't be illegal was made illegal. So with that, I'd say that they're just looking at the fact that they're criminals. Even though the laws changed, they're committing a crime. They were committing a crime. I'd suggest that that's what they're pressing on. Maybe I've heard your show many times, and obviously I understand your views on a lot of politicians. They're perhaps looking at them in a sense that they would be criminals regardless. You know, they were doing something that was illegal, albeit, you know, it should not be illegal with what we know and we've known for many years. I just feel they're looking at it from that point of view, the fact that it was an illegal activity then, you're prepared to break the law. I don't know your thoughts there, Alan.
Well, my thoughts are pretty similar, that the law needs to be broken when it's wrong. And when the law is immoral and the law is incorrect, it is not only not illegal to break that law, it's absolutely necessary for humanity. You just cannot tolerate a fictitiously based law such as, particularly when, I mean, if you're telling me that the CBDs are great and they're helpful on the one hand, but on the other hand, they don't want to ship them around and they don't want them moved in and they don't want them brought in. I mean, this is all, this is a huge problem for so many people. But before we continue too much longer, let's introduce yourself to the folks listening. CannabisDaily.co.
Cannabis Daily, that's right, yes.
Cannabis Daily. Yeah, so we'll spell it. It's C-A-N-N-A-B-I-Z or Z for American listeners. CannabisDaily.co. And what are you guys, besides being an interactive hub for the cannabis industry?
Well, it happened by kind of accident. It was formed by, you have Patsy O'Connor and Vesco Kenishkov. They have a software company here in Bulgaria, and an old friend of Patsy's, who Seamus Russell is the present CEO. He's been in Vancouver for 10 years now. Both Patsy and Seamus are from Cork, and he suggested our skills would transfer very well into the cannabis space. With the amount of companies cropping up, we provide marketing services, digital services, high-end websites to a lot of companies around the world. So we decided, let's look at there. If there's companies coming up, it's a great angle. So we needed to understand the market. So Patsy brought me in with my experience in marketing and suggested, just find out what's going on. And it just transformed from there. We looked for a gap in the market, which was connecting the cannabis businesses on a global scale because they're cropping up. But as I started to speak with individuals, I pretty much, if they had cannabis to their name on a profile, I tried to get in touch with them. And I've been speaking with so many people, like yourself, Alan. You know, you were told, you have an illness, a severe one, in your instance, cancer. And there's a lot of stories with seizures with kids, you know, told, you know, that there's no value of life, really. The treatment's not working. Yeah. Just kind of deal with it. And I've interviewed so many individuals where cannabis does work. It's a fact. I know with regards to research, we can't come out and say this or that because of freedom and the flexibility, but I've spoken with individuals where it has helped. And the first kind of call I had, I don't know if you've heard of the story, Lindsay Carter, a young boy in Australia, the first.
No, tell us about Lindsay.
Okay. I spoke with his mother, Lanai Carter. We actually interviewed her for a platform. So this was kind of the beginning of our realizing that we had to kind of shift what we were doing and look long-term and just educate. And not enough people were educating. They were looking for business, focusing on local areas. So when we were speaking with her there, it opened up the doors. Basically, Lindsay is the first THC patient in Australia. And I don't know how much it costs for medication in Canada for seizures, but they have spent tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, I'm sure it's quite similar,
he had to leave the country. Had to go on fundraisers. The mother had to quit her job. I mean, as you can imagine, when it comes to problems like this, when it comes to your child's health, I mean, Lindsay was, you know, in his mid-teens, and told, you know, he has a brain tumor. Yeah. So she heard about medical cannabis, spent a fortune in the United States on treatment. He's back there now. And again, they're still facing a problem. This was the one that opened up the eyes to the Australian government and said, this works. But now, again, he's in the same position. Seizures have come back because they can't keep up. They've legalized medical cannabis, but he doesn't have access. They've run out. So she's back to raising tens of thousands, which he doesn't have, just to get back to where she can get it. And that's what boggles my mind. That's when I mentioned to Patsy and Seamus, we need to focus on this. You know, business will happen as it comes. If we focus on this, we have a low burn rate. We can just build a website with huge value and just educate the world. We need to get to decision makers. They need to hear about this.
Absolutely.
And that's just one incident, you know? So that's pretty much where we started to go with this now. We want to educate the world on facts. Because, as you know yourself, looking at cannabis and looking for information, there's plenty of grey areas. We didn't know how to find information, which means if the information isn't out there or easily found, there's a gap in the market. We need to educate. So that's our story so far. We've got obviously a lot in the pipeline, which we can also cover, but I just want to talk about the powers of the plant. The evil plant, as they say, Alan.
The evil plant, yes. So you are the chief marketing officer, is that right?
That's right,
Cannabis
yes.
Daily. So what kinds of specific functions do you have in that capacity? Obviously, you know very well about these medical cases in different places around the world, but what are you doing? You're just trying to get money together to fund this whole thing?
No, actually, with regards to funding, we have a long-term setup of a software company in Bulgaria. We actually are using a small section of our staff to kind of carry on building Cannabis Daily. I'm going out there pushing for just to build the website up. But with regards to, you know, looking for funding, we're not doing that. Somebody did have a discussion with Seamus not so long back, but they wanted to change the Pure Vision. You know, when they understand what we're capable of, what we can do with regards to digital software and our access to people within the industry on a business level, on a personal level, they offered us to speed up the process, however, right, wanted us to not focus so much on the education. So we just carry on as we are.
Okay, so tell us a bit about, I'm going to cover a couple of these, some of the companies that you've got featured on the front page of the website, the featured businesses, and why you're getting into that. But before we get to that, tell us about the software itself. I mean, that's a big word, software. You can do all kinds of things with it. Apparently not put the show together as well as I'd like with sound audio software. But what kind of software do you have on the go here? How did this get dreamed up?
Well, it tends to be high-end websites, you know, with constant work, constant ongoing. We've got clients we've had for a number of years now outside of the cannabis space. So with regards to that, I know about marketing and obviously the value of websites. The software, I only learned how to spell URL 6 months ago. It's not my thing, you know.
Okay.
The guys behind the scenes deal with that. But we build software for bespoke software, as long as they cover the costs, because we don't, you know, we don't look at websites or anything as such, you know, for a few hundred dollars. We look for long-term projects for stability for the staff, and that's kind of the angle we've gone at. But now with regards to what we're doing, we've used perhaps 10%, maybe 20% of our resources to focus on Cannabis Daily. We really do see the long-term for this is incredible. You know, we've actually made an impact in our short time within the industry by getting through to individuals that need to hear of such cases. So it's just a case of, as you know, removing the stigma and educating those that kind of carry that flag, if that makes sense.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the things on your some of the featured businesses on your page.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Grassroots Medicinal. What's up with those folks?
Which one, sorry?
Grassroots Medicinal. Are you familiar?
Oh, no, these are with regards to this, I'm looking at it now. What we've done,
dispensary.
We saw basically as guys within websites, understanding the value of them, how to build them. We looked at just the cannabis industry. We went by Google, we saw the likes of Weed Maps and Leafly. We're very fond of Leafly's work, actually. They're kind of sticking to the core and building up very well. But when we looked at Weed Maps, we noticed everyone was focusing on dispensaries.
Right.
So this was the angle before the education and the news and the interviews, was basically, let's connect them. Let's give them a vehicle to speak with each other, find each other. Kind of like Weed Maps, only offering, if you're a cannabis business, whether you're a lawyer, an accountant, regardless of what you're doing, if you want to serve the cannabis industry, we wanted a platform for you to be found, because Google doesn't like cannabis companies promoting themselves still today.
Oh, really? They're doing algorithmic things to prevent the rise of cannabis-related information sites?
No, it still works. The cannabis keywords, they still work. You know, usual marketing strategies work. It's just, if anybody really wanted to, you know what, proactively put themselves out there and say we're here for cannabis industry, you can't go and pay them for the quick routes. You know, right. You can't pay Google Ads, you can't do these avenues. So it's more a case of who can invest the most into SEO, who can invest the most into content and whack that up online. But, you know, what about these guys that are really doing something great? It might take them 10 years. They can't rely on Google. So we wanted to put our resources, our time, our knowledge into pushing Cannabis Daily up the ranks. And with that, you know, these companies, these guys have a bit more of a chance to be found.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you for featuring myself. And Leafly has also got a story on me as well for that reason, because similarly, we've had great difficulty here obtaining any kind of backing from a lot of people who are maybe they like listening to the show, but they can't get involved or don't want to get involved financially because of these kinds of bizarre, inconsistent legal strictures that it's like trying to carve your way through a spider web without getting any of it on you.
Yep, that's right. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Even more, these guys, you know, who come at you with money and want to put money into ideas and help with, like you say, with people, what you're doing, you never know. It only takes something to change in politics for the whole, you know, everything to be ripped from underneath us.
Yeah.
You know, the money's gone.
The good thing about the money for me is that we had a purveyor earlier on in the show, and they had to back out right away. I was literally filling out the paperwork, and the rest of the team already had. And then he said, "Oh no, we can't really get behind what you're saying there fully." So I understand. Yeah. That's exceptionally difficult. But maybe in a massive chunk of time, 10, 15, 20 years, things will turn around. What I noticed is that these legal changes, they all came around, I think it was 1937. So we've had about 80 years of this nonsense. The last few years have been the slow movement of the wheels turning on the train to get things going in the positive direction again. But it is going to take so long to get everything back to normal, even though this is a relatively brief blip in the history of cannabis access.
There's
so much work to do.
I was going to say, looking back, it will be a small piece of time, wouldn't it? But, you know, we're in the middle of it right now, watching what's going on and developments. And, you know, us personally, Cannabis Daily, we're looking at the whole globe. We're looking at what's coming up, where, who's doing what. There's a lot of movement, Alan. There really are a lot of things happening. But again, there's people setting up businesses in one place or not. Let's go back to Australia. There's plenty of individuals there with millions of dollars. And if you could imagine Australia for agriculture, I can't see cannabis plants in huge volume being a problem. But if you look at it now, like you say, it's taking its time. They've legalized medical cannabis. They have all of that land, which is, you know, everyone lives on the coast. It's a huge country.
Right. Yeah.
But they can't, you know, they can't keep up with it. So, like, what's stopping this? There's something that's stopping it there. And it's fair. It's prime for the taking. Everybody is ready and set up to make cannabis accessible to the world for medical purposes.
Yeah.
It's just governments that are stopping it. So I guess they're in charge.
Well, I like to ask questions, and that's how my other show came to be, which you're also listening to right now, by the way. You're on two shows at the same time.
Yep.
This is Conspiracy Queries and Green Crush. One of the questions that I have for these people, and they never have the answer, is that when it's demonstrable that we have so many people that want access to cannabis anyway, then you have the people that are aware that it is medically helping them out or helping out their children, and so they want it. And then we have the science that shows that it's a food on par with trying to get through your life without, say, vitamin C or vitamin D or any other kind of necessary nutrient. And most people want that. I don't hear enough questions being thrown to politicians to say, how do you justify pretending to be a representative of an alleged democracy when there is so much will, desire, need, availability for this, and the science and the medication, excuse me, and the science and the research on and anecdotal research and verified research, all of that. How do these people pretend that they are still representatives of an alleged democracy? I don't know how they get away with pretending that they are, and I don't know why more people don't ask that obvious question. I mean, it's basically you're pointing to the strings on the puppet while you say, why do you think you're moving independently?
That's actually what it is. I think that when the questions do come, they're dodging them. I think the overall answer is they're going to have to admit they were wrong. And it's not something politicians are good at, you know?
No.
They'll have to turn around and say, I've been wrong all of this time.
I've been wrong.
I've been lying to you knowingly because it's my job. That's the only thing I can make sense of this.
It is a lie, though, because it is. That's what I realize is when they said before that this is the devil's drug and it's going to make people do terrible things, and then you find out, it isn't, and they say, well, there's no medical application for this at all, and then you find out that there is, and well, there's not enough people that really want to have this, and then you find out that there is all of these contrary, and then well, it's not good. Nothing good has ever come from a mind that's partaken of cannabis, and then you listen to art. You listen to music and you look at art and you read things and you realize that that's completely untrue. And it just goes on and on and on. And now they're at the place where they say nothing positive can be contributed. And they're virtually, literally, I should say, suppressing a burgeoning economy that's going to be out of control. Can you imagine if you took all the strictures off and just said, okay, the good companies are going to get it done. The bad ones are going to fall off. There's going to be access to this stuff. It's what people want. I mean, this would be such a massive change, and it would be powerful in resurrecting what is constantly being referred to as a limp and sagging economy. And they don't want it to be right. They can't afford to have it also be right that it's going to help the economy. So there's really no more corners left for them to hide in at this point.
No, you're absolutely right there. There's nowhere for them to hide. So I do feel, in my personal opinion, it's all going to come out. I can foresee, like you said, maybe 10 to 15 years, freedom of movement, cannabis legal. It wouldn't be legal on a global scale. We know there's a few countries out there that would never entertain the idea.
Yeah.
However, that aside, I honestly believe with the information out there now, they're either not looking at it at all and not listening to what's being said, or they've got something, in mind. It's just a case of it takes time to reverse. Effectively, the war on drugs, because with Richard Nixon, when he declared a war on drugs, cannabis come under that act. You've got to reverse huge decisions by huge characters in history, and who's going to come up and do that? I guess it's just a case of... as politicians do with all subjects, disguise what's going on right now, distract the audience. So they'll be coming up with other areas, and slowly cannabis will be made legal. Because for every activist out there for the pro movement, unfortunately, there's someone against it. That's what the politicians have to consider. It's not the truths, it's the votes.
Yeah,
there's plenty of anti individuals within the industry. Well, regarding the plant.
So I'm going to guess, I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to say that China is one of the countries that's completely dead set against this across the board. I'm going to guess.
To my knowledge, because, I'm being educated by those I reach. And with regards to China, there's not a lot of individuals out there that you can access. However, I've spoke with... a chap named Richard Rose a number of times, who fully understands hemp and CBD. He's very clued up on the subject, and he has informed me that regarding hemp production, China are years ahead of the rest.
Oh,
it's
really?
A case of what?
And what are they using it for?
I've no idea. It's kind of the language barrier as well. Trying to find people in China. Actually, my usual methods of hunting individuals down, and starting to generate interest in what we're doing and speaking with them, it's getting easier now. People are aware of who we are.
Right.
But going to China, all they try to do is just try to sell me bulk vape pens, you know, sprays on the sale. Right. They don't, you know, it's a language barrier. They don't understand. We want to find out what's going on. We could also help promote their business and export something into the industry because, you know, they have a product, huge manufacturing. They just go straight for sale. They just found someone in the industry who may buy my product in bulk. So we're struggling for the answers there. So if anyone's listening and could help with that, we're wide open to speak.
Okay, well, I hope I can learn more about this because I think I have some kind of an internet firewall up about China the same way they have one. I didn't really know as much about China. So let's take a glance around the world right now. What is your take on Mexico right now? What's going on in Mexico? There's a lot of changes going on in Mexico regarding what we were told before was that the cannabis industry helps the illegal purveyors of other substances and helps them create a bottom line and a business to hide in, and it actually pays for a lot of illicit activity in Mexico. But that's from before, and now some laws are changing. What can you tell us about that part of the North American Union?
Only as much as you know so far. We know what we've researched and written an article with regards to the changes the pending. Because our mantra is we don't want to join in with the guys miseducating. You know, when we find something tangible,
right,
we look there. And again, if anyone in Mexico speaks to Cannabis Daily about what's going on, it's one of those smaller areas where we can't get into. Particularly, again, if you have a reach in Uruguay, because it's fully legal there. It's probably the most advanced country in the world with regards to cannabis legislation and freedom and access.
Uruguay,
yes,
well, that's
everything is legal. There's nothing illegal with regards to cannabis now. I believe the only area is if you're a tourist, you can't purchase cannabis. But other than that, you can be sitting on tons in your back room. You know, as long as you didn't steal it, and there's not a call to the police that you've stolen it. It's fine.
So they're busting tourists with it, though. They're arresting.
No, they're not busting tourists. I think the policy, to my knowledge, is not to sell to tourists.
Ah, okay.
If somebody goes looking, it's. I don't know. I'd have to look into that. But again, that's something that's been at the forefront of our mind because of how far ahead they are. Just right. Again, it's reaching people with the language barriers, or even more, just how much, whether they're online or you can find them. Again, the problems we're having in China, it's just a case of facts. We can't get to people on the ground in Uruguay and Mexico as of yet, but we're heavily involved in focusing on Europe currently and watching the CBD developments there.
It's well worth watching in these countries that can grow so much. I mean, you've got all kinds of sunshine down there. You can do
it's South Africa. They're now going to be heavily involved in production and export. As you can imagine, the climate there, and with regards to how it is, they're set in their ways. They've been working in cannabis. I've spoken with a few individuals down there. They've been working in cannabis for many years, even when it was illegal.
Sure.
And it's a bit like the Wild West. So they've even suggested if they don't get given a license, as long as they can afford a top lawyer, they can carry on and just do what they do. So that's it's an interesting time there, but it's definitely going to have huge developments. Again, with Australia, I can foresee, I guess, ease of production and growth. They're going to see huge volume of cannabis in those countries. But the leaders could perhaps, I keep reading reports from Israel. I don't know if you know much about the Israeli movements in cannabis.
Yeah.
But they said they're going to be the leading exporters of cannabis. I think for climate and size, South Africa and Australia could certainly facilitate more growth. However, you know, they know how to run business, don't they? Once they have an idea, they run with it, they deliver. So I can foresee that being a possibility.
Okay. Well, it's kind of late for you. It's you're in Bulgaria right now, many hours ahead of us. So give us I'm going to ask you quickly about a couple of other regions of the world that we don't hear too much about here, and to get your take on it. You're much closer to them and wired into your business. Tell us a little bit about Scandinavia and also Russia. Anything newsworthy there?
I believe Norway has a strict medical cannabis policy. You know, it's legal for medical cannabis in Norway, but it's very strict. I may have to get my facts straight on that. Russia, with regards to that, I can't see many changes there. There have been stories coming out, but it's all external. There's nobody in Russia saying this is a fact. Okay. I read contradicting articles. Some say it's legal for medical purposes, and I've spoken with individuals that say you can't touch cannabis in Russia at all. Don't be mad.
Wow.
So that's what we want to do. We want to get to people on the ground to educate in these areas, yeah, rather than
the question I would put to any Russian official or user or someone knowledgeable in Russia is that it's illegal. Don't be mad or what have you. But they have a big problem there with this substance called crocodile. Have you heard about this? Crocodile?
It's new to me.
It's new to you? Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Well, as long as you're not enjoying a meal right now while you listen to this show,
no.
get on Google and look up crocodile, Russia, and you spell it K-R-O-K-I-D-I-L, crocodile. And this is a substance that people, junkies, I'm going to say the disadvantaged instead of losers, But these folks, they take a very easy to obtain substances from the store, such as Drano and bleach and a few other things. And they create this very smelly, very toxic injectable drug, which then rots away their skin and their flesh. And this is where it gets the name crocodile. It literally hardens and causes the flesh and the skin to drop off. And for bones to become exposed. It is one of the most horrendous things I've ever seen anywhere. And the reason I'm asking about cannabis is, this seems to be an exclusively Russian problem. And what I found out about cannabis regarding opioids is, if you know, in all the states where they take cannabis or have access to cannabis in the States, you've got a 25 to 30% drop in the opioid addiction problem. And the big problem with crocodile, if you can believe it or not, is that it's addictive. This horrible thing that these mostly young men are doing. And I think it's worth taking a look at. Anytime there's a medical application for cannabis, is to try to get this stuff to those people and see if access to cannabis amongst the crocodile users in Russia would help turn them around, and you know, under a supervised program. So if you didn't know about crocodile, and when you find out about it, you'll never forget about it. I guarantee that. So did we lose Sean?
Oh no, I'm here. Sorry, I was waiting for you to just bring me back in because I was looking at the images there.
Yeah, actually. It's pretty horrible. Yeah, I thought you might have been looking at pictures and uh-huh. just about ready to throw up. It's so horrifying.
No, it's isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I just thought you might know about that, and I think cannabis would be a good application. I mean, when it's therapeutically, go ahead.
I was saying, wouldn't it just be perfect to legalize in a country like that? You know,
yeah.
Certainly to prevent such cases. However, when you look at something like that, let's go back to how cannabis is, you know, in the olden days.
Okay.
I'm sure they have access to cannabis. I'm sure they can pick up cannabis from you know, plenty of men on the bikes, you know, popping around the house as they were back in the 90s when I was younger.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there may just be a problem there where they would still do something like that or. But I see that, you know, something like that needs to be removed from the streets and, you know, give people more access to cannabis. But that's just horrific images, huh?
Yeah, they're horrible stuff. Don't look at that while you're eating anybody. Okay, so as far as Cannabis Daily is concerned, tell us how you are. You're a burgeoning empire. So how are you connecting people in the cannabis industry? Like, I'm speaking with you now. We've had an email thread going on back and forth for a while. And how do you best go after people? Do you just sit there and scan around on Google and try to make connections, or how do you do it?
Yeah, it's basically using social media forums to find people, because what we want to do is raise awareness of our marketplace, which is in production. That's going to be added to the site. We're currently raising awareness of that. So in the meantime, I've started to just make it aware to individuals, you know, I'm speaking to somebody with regards to one subject in the industry, and they mentioned to me, oh, by the way, do you know where I could perhaps pick up, CBD isolate, within this state? And I look, yeah, it's legal. I say, well, do you know what? I'll ask someone for you.
Right.
And that's kept on happening now. You know, people are coming to me daily. My inbox is always full every morning with regards to inquiries. How can you help me out? Because they know that a marketplace is pending. So I'm dealing with stuff like this verbally currently, just to keep the interest there. So when the marketplace is there, I can direct them there. That's part of the connecting the cannabis businesses.
Okay, well, at the risk of further cramming your inbox full of questions and needs, tell the listeners how it is they can get a hold of you and anybody else in your business who can get information from where they're about. Like, how do people reach you and people?
They can they can email me directly, sean@cannabisdaily.co.
Okay, that's SHAUN. Okay. Just making sure.
At Cannabis Daily, yeah. Obviously, you got it across to the listeners. Cannabis with a Z or a Z for the Americans, daily.co.
Great. And what is CO for? What does that mean?
It's just the domain name. We picked up, we wanted to look globally, but somebody got in there with .com, and we can't find them. There's no website, but we went with .co. Okay. Because obviously the rest are regional.
Well, I hope to get a chance to meet you sometime. And, I say that to everybody basically that I've ever spoken to on the show, because this is great information. It's amazing to me that you guys have, you've got an article up. I've got something here. I'm just going to read it quickly. The most widely reported medical cannabis refugee group are parents. Uh-huh. Parents with epileptic children, more specifically children suffering from Dravet syndrome, a severe form of epilepsy causing more than 20 seizures a day. And, of course, last week we had on Ava Barry's mother, Vera Toomey from Ireland, who I'm sure you're familiar with. And she has
very familiar.
And she's done a hell of a job getting it pushed through and forced through into Ireland. But when she told me that her daughter is only one of four. Now, maybe there's another one this week. Maybe it's one of five by now. But last week, they were one of four legal recipients of this legal access that is afforded to four people in Ireland. That's just incredible to me. It works for this person, but nobody else can have it. You know. So.
Well, that's what it takes. It takes a mother with a sick child and turning to cannabis. You know, if anyone's going to, wake up a politician and be very proactive, it's a parent for treatment for their children. And it's actually sad and unfortunate that we have to wait for this stage for things to pick up. But Patsy and Seamus are both from Cork, not too far from Vera Toomey. And we've been watching developments in Ireland. They've started the process. It's just a matter of time. But again, we don't know. Could it be 6 months? Could it be 6 years? Yeah. It's down to the politicians.
It is. But it's such a good moment, right? I mean, weren't you just so happy when they got to come home in December and
of course
experience Christmas together and all of that?
Well, was it the Netherlands they were in for treatment? Flying over, they moved there, didn't they? And come back recently.
Yeah, she was also in Spain for a while too, but they were in the Netherlands. Yeah, getting it done there. Amazing. Speaking of 6 months or a year from now, where do you see CannabisDaily.co becoming? What's going for you? What's going to be the thing in the long term?
Well, we aim to be a top 10 cannabis brand, a business brand. But we do have a convention. We have a location. We just don't want to jump on it yet, but we want to focus global. So we're going to pick up a convention outside of the United States and Canada, and hopefully bring all of the business minds there. We want to try and find the movers and shakers, take them somewhere where we do feel is going to be one of the leaders of cannabis production in the world, and bring everyone on board, come down and do the usual convention stuff, have some guest speakers.
Right.
We'll have, people setting up booths, showcasing their business. And obviously then, bit of leisure time in the evenings in a brand new country, because the only difficulty we see here is getting Americans to leave the United States, you know?
Most of them don't have passports. So
that's right, huh?
So how do you, when you get to that level, when you're at this place, tell us who is, I was wrong about China. They've got all kinds of production going on there. I was just going on a hunch because they're so restrictive with their information. But who is just going to be probably the most difficult country to bring along into the fold? I mean, everybody else is halfway in the door. They've got their foot, one in the boat and one on the dock. Who is going to be the big problematic country? Give us that. And also, who's going to be who's going to really turn things around? Seems like Ireland has a chance to go from last place
Ireland
to first
will
place.
Now. Well, Ireland have been talking about it, so it's going to happen. But I'd say go back to Russia then, because we know who's in charge there, and we know who's going to be in charge for the many years. So if it's not legal now, and as long as Putin's in charge, and you know he has his policies, if he was going to change it and legalize it, he would have done so already. So I'd say that's going to be the most difficult, purely on that basis, because, like you say, he's there for the long term.
But I see him toking, though, you know? I totally see Vladimir. But you know what? He's on the back of a horse with his shirt off. He's got a bong somewhere. It's in the saddlebag, I'm sure.
Well, man can do what he wants, can't he, you know? To be honest, he does put it off. He does look a pretty cool guy, you know? Sitting on the top of, he's in good shape, huh?
He's in relatively good shape. I figure he has a hoot once in a while. I think so. Yeah.
I'd say so.
Well, Sean, I'm glad that you came on the show, and I wonder if there's anything else you want to tell people about what to look for from you guys, and otherwise it's we will have you back on in a little bit. We'll see how the plans are going, see if we're still moving forward, or if anybody's
we'd love to get Seamus on next time, you know, in the future, because it's a fresh story. He's the man on the ground in Vancouver. Right. You know, he's the president, so he'll have much more and fresh information to say. But what I'd like to say to anyone is, come to me. That's what we're here for. Our business model is being formed by the people within the community. So come to me or come to Patsy. We're the ones very active on speaking with people, and from there on in, we make stuff happen. So if you want to email myself at cannabisdaily.co or Patsy at cannabisdaily.co, if you've something to say, if you need assistance, put the email out there, and we'll facilitate if we can. Just don't ask us for anything illegal.
No, but you're a caring facility, and you're growing, and it's all about a very large facet, folks. I don't know where you're listening to us from in the world, but this is a huge venture. I don't just mean Cannabis Daily. I mean everything about cannabis. This is a turning point in history. We're turning back into being able to access one of the most healthful products, plants, substances on the planet. And if you are in some kind of an illness, and it doesn't necessarily need to be cancer or Dravet's, it could be all kinds of things, it's definitely worth a try. And it's definitely worth a try if you've been told that your medications have not been doing anything, or that there isn't any medical application for you. What is holding you back from trying? And the folks at CannabisDaily.co are going to help you understand how you can access that stuff, and what you can expect based on where you are in the world, physically, mentally, spiritually, the whole thing. So a great organization is coming forth. And what's great about it to me is that this product, this substance, this plant is what dreamed you guys into existence. I mean, I'm here because of it. You're here because of it.
Absolutely.
Maybe if it were legal the whole time and they didn't put this wall up 80 years ago, you know, you'd be doing something else. Maybe you'd be fixing race car engines or something. I don't know. But this whole repression of this and the prevention of access has created folks like yourself and organizations such as Cannabis Daily. So I think it's amazing that it's jujitsu, isn't it? I mean, as soon as you throw a punch my way, I take that same energy and put it right back to you. That's what the lawmakers and these legislators are experiencing now.
Absolutely. And everyone's coming at them with full force, you know, education and facts.
Yeah.
If we put them out there, they've nowhere to hide. They, you know, as we've discussed, they can't dodge them now. You know, they've been dodging them too long. If we swamp them with it, turn heads, and hopefully we've played our part in the movement.
Well, I think you have, and thanks for doing that. Those folks are definitely running out of corners. And, Sean, we will have you back. We'll have the president on, too, and we will definitely feature you guys on the show again in the future. Thanks for writing up a little something about me and the show. Really appreciate it.
No, you're absolutely welcome. It's a story we wanted to put out there.
Well,
and we're certainly looking forward to being back on next time, then.
Yeah, take care. Have a great night in, what are you, in Sofia?
Sofia, Bulgaria, yes.
Yeah, I've never been, but maybe one day. Thanks for coming on the show.
You're more than welcome.
We'll see you again sometime. Take care.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
That's Sean Dillon, folks. Sean is late-nighting it over there in Bulgaria. And, I don't know what to say sometimes with a person who is sitting atop a treasure trove of information such as what Sean has there to offer. So if you're interested in any of this stuff at all, you should definitely get involved and pick up some information about cannabis, the world, the country you're in, the predicament you're in, and see what can be done about it. Because there are people out there that can help you. Great website, very comprehensive, linking the world. They've got stuff, categories, Africa, Asia, Middle East. We didn't get into that much beyond Israel, but Australia, New Zealand, Canada, of course, Europe. They have infographics, investment opportunities, research. These are people that know what they're talking about, and they're trying to offer information. And then you contrast that with governments who don't know what they're talking about and are offering strictures and rules and laws and punishments. And as our fine, fair-haired leader in Canada said, maybe some people are, you know, winding up getting records that shouldn't be. You know, maybe that's happening. Maybe because you're a fool, sir. So let's turn back to some more topics to cover. We were discussing why it is that people are not getting access to this particular substance. And I think I've got a couple of answers to this effect. So we're going to go to Counterpunch now. Counterpunch.org has an article, GMOs, Global Agribusiness, and the Destruction of Choice. One of the myths perpetrated by the pro-GMO, genetically modified organisms lobby, is that critics of GMOs in agriculture are denying choice to farmers and have an ideological agenda. The narrative is that farmers should have access to a range of tools and technologies, including GMO crops. And before addressing the issue, we should remind ourselves that GMOs have been illegitimately placed on the commercial market due to bypassing of regulations. Stephen Drucker's book, Altered Genes, Twisted Truths, from 2015, indicates that the commercialization of GM food in the U.S. was based on a massive fraud. And then it starts to sound more familiar, like the people involved right now are involved in a massive fraud in keeping this healthful substance away from us and at the same time profiting from its opposite. So what I don't like about all of this GMO business is that while they have put through fraudulent means to get it on the market, and at the same time try to work their hardest to make sure these things aren't labeled, I would think if you're so happy with your GMO product, you'd be thrilled to put a GMO label on there. And if the FDA had heeded its own experts' advice and publicly acknowledged the warnings that GM foods entailed higher risks than their conventional counterparts, Drucker says that the GM food venture would have imploded and never gained traction anywhere. And they've learned from that mistake, and they're not going to do it again. And what they're trying to do again is that Monsanto and Bayer, now becoming one behemoth of corporate oppression. Bayer said on the Twitter that GMO critics denying farmers a choice is based on a false paradigm, just like the way they got their laws passed through in the first place. They're saying the idea that GMOs offer increased choice, well, that's a stack of lies. And you have to consider that, that to work at Bayer Monsanto, you must have restricted options tattooed on your brainstem. GMO's agriculture system eliminates different systems of food production. And I don't know if you just heard me say that Bayer was whining about a lack of choice. There are better ways to work the animal plant soil system. So how's this for a little counterpoint? Global companies, many of whom rake in corporate welfare. We never hear about corporate welfare. But they're raking it in. And they're shutting that choice down. The folks that are actually getting tons of money from the government to proffer their illegitimate systems are the ones doing the shutting down of choice. That's the capitalism misunderstanding. They don't want competition in an open market. They want to own the market. They want all of it. And now they're here telling us what choice is, which on its face disallows people to choose another way. They just want to keep that one company growing in revenue, expanding and expanding. Like a, well, remarkably similar to something this show is dead against, remarkably like a cancerous tumor. And I would not be here had I not learned to stunt such unwanted growth within my own body. And so now that's why I work to try to make sure that people understand this stuff is for your benefit, not for your restriction. So why is that I've got a problem with Monsanto and Bayer when we look at a recent Codex meeting in Berlin? There was an attempt to define genetically engineered food ingredients as biofortified, thereby misleading consumers. So they're at it again. This contravened the original Codex mandate for defining bifortification. I'm getting this from politicalvelcraft.org, by the way. No, it's not a mainstream organization. That definition is based on improving the nutritional quality of food crops through conventional plant breeding, not genetic engineering, with the aim of making the nutrients bioavailable after digestion. So they've tried to rejig the terms. So first they snuck in with some bad legislation by lying about it. Now they're trying to further codify the language into their own profit margins at the risk and detriment of everyone else. Monsanto Bayer. And then we have to go back to this global marijuana company in Smiths Falls seeking a retail pot store. They can't seem to get that done. But these folks that are setting up these incredible lies in order to shovel through what they like to profit upon, these folks, they're the ones giving the government's money a lot of the time, okay? So they're the ones that are standing to profit from these series of fictions. And then you're into the whole, you know, conspiracy angle at that point. And that's how this show is connected, right down the middle with conspiracy and cannabis. I've said it 100 times. You cannot fully discuss cannabis without getting into conspiracy. And now we have, and I'm probably going to get this name wrong, I'm going to say it's Malache, but it could be Malace, but it's Sam anyway, and he's a doctor, and he has a book out called The Great Cannabis Conspiracy. You can get it at all the fine places that you normally get books. Here's the description. In less than 2 years, Dr. Samuel Malachi, oh my goodness, we'll have to figure that out before we get him on the show. When we get this gentleman on the show, make sure he doesn't listen to this particular moment of this particular show, okay? I don't want to screw this guy up. He's experienced a life-threatening car accident, a prescription opioid addiction, diabetes, and cancer. Wow. He's got it on me. I only had the cancer. He was an ex-convict looking to turn around his life, but instead he found himself fighting for it. Meanwhile, cannabis was a drug slowly turning its fortunes around, too, from a history of stigma and prohibition to a new era of curiosity, openness, and incredible medical science. So Sam did a thing that surprised himself. He bought a farm in British Columbia and started growing weed and was one of the first to be licensed under Canada's medical marijuana law. And because of his unusual combination of pain and disease, he fought for and won the right to grow more cannabis than anyone in North America. Okay, we definitely need him on the show. Then he started to discover the flaws in the system, the gaps between bureaucracy and decency. Oh, there are some huge gaps between bureaucracy and decency while they tell us we are immoral. God. Between education and criminalization. Between dignity and shame. So he began to learn about the budding science of cannabinology to build a community of patients and heroes and to fight for dignified access as a principle, a policy prescription, and a human right. And in doing so, Sam found an enemy even more dangerous than the ones from his criminal past, an ugly conspiracy of corrupt power, check, ignorance, check, stigma, which they work to keep going, cops at the helm of decriminalizing it, are you kidding me? Criminalization and greed that has been threatening the lives of patients for more than a century, and it only threatened mine for a few years. So that's the story of Sam, the doctor. Like the story of medical cannabis, the story of a struggle for redemption, understanding, and justice. Standing in the way of all of that is the great cannabis conspiracy. So check out his book, Sam Malachi, Sam Malaise. It's M-E-L-L-A-C-E, the great cannabis conspiracy. And here's what kind of scares me a little bit about your Monsantos and your other people of that area. According to the Colorado General Assembly, development of marijuana tracking technology. So between companies like Monsanto trying to get a hold of cannabis while it's becoming the thing everybody wants so that they can change the actual composite of the plant. Now we have these goofballs. From the Colorado General Assembly, it's the development of marijuana tracking technology. I told you before, make sure you're not eating when you heard about crocodile. Now I'll say the same thing here. This bill requires the Institute of Cannabis Research at Colorado State University to develop marijuana tracking technology. It must include an agent that is applied to a marijuana plant, marijuana product, industrial hemp, or industrial hemp product, and then scanned by a device. The scan, at a minimum, would indicate whether the marijuana or hemp was cultivated, manufactured, or sold by a licensed marijuana business or registered hemp cultivator. The Institute shall select a vendor to develop the technology. After the technology is developed, the state licensing authority must be satisfied that the technology provides an effective means of tracking marijuana. After the state licensing authority determines the technology is an effective means of tracking marijuana, it shall promulgate rules that require the technology to be used by licensed marijuana businesses. And the commissioner of the Department of Agriculture shall promulgate rules that require registered industrial hemp cultivators to use the technology. The technology that scans the marijuana must be available to law enforcement and the Department of Revenue. This is a totalitarian nightmare we're in. Every single friggin' dystopian movie you've ever seen legislated into this piece of paper. Hey, is that the kind of thing we want you to have? Hemp! Hemp, for God's sake! Hemp is going to be tracked. Could be the wrong kind of hemp. This bill clarifies that the gray and black market marijuana enforcement grant program could award grants to law enforcement agencies to purchase the marijuana scanning technology. And there'll be a lot of cops who have involved themselves in investing into the machines and the whatever the hell they're going to use to track it with. And it's not even, they're not even sure what it's going to be. It could be a chip, could be a biological agent, it could be any agent. When they say agent, it could be anything at all. So that's kind of exhausting, and we're going to have to wrap things up pretty soon now, I guess. I guess that's what we're going to have to do to get out of here. It's been a fun time for me to learn. I always enjoy learning more things on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's also very frustrating to listen to a lot of these things because they are so full. The gap between decency and state bureaucracy is, as they say, huge. Very huge, and it goes on forever, and it doesn't seem to end. And the more I learn, it's kind of like the more I wish I didn't know. So let's get out of here. But I'm going to read one little thing on the way out as to why I think there's a lot of problem here with this. And here it is from The Guardian again. Freemasons are blocking reform, says Police Federation leader. Steve White, stepping down as chair, says the society is thwarting progress of women and BAME people. Reform in policing is being blocked by members of the Freemasons. You know those guys that don't really do anything and you think they don't have any power? Right now in England, they are blocking things that people want to have. And their influence in the service, the police service, is thwarting the progress of women and people from black and minority ethnic communities. Steve White stepped down after 3 years of chair of the Police Federation, told The Guardian he was concerned about the continued influence of Freemasons. White took charge with the government threatening to take over the Federation if it did not reform after a string of scandals and controversies. Critics of the Freemasons say the organization is secretive. They say it is, or it is. And it serves the interests of its members over the interests of the public. The end. That's all I would really need to say. But the Masons deny this, saying they uphold values in keeping with the public service.
We just had a rotten nightmare, that's all. Now we're awake, everything's going to be fine.